Good morning, HDC. Let's pray. God, we love you so much. And we're just so thankful for the Psalms. We're so thankful for this songbook of your people that reflects that every emotion that we have can be brought to you. So Lord, as we continue on through the Psalms, we just pray that we'd find encouragement and we'd find just healthy places, healthy ways to operate with our emotions in our faith. Lord, we love you. We thank you for what you're going to do in us today. We pray that your spirit would be on the move in each of our hearts. It's in your holy and precious name that we pray. Amen. Good morning, HDC. How you doing? Feeling good? Sorry, did we bum you out already to start the day? You're like, man, Jackson, I came to be encouraged, and you're in Psalm 42. What is this? What is this? We're here in our playlist series, which has been kind of our summer series so far. We've been going through these different songs in the songbook of God's people from the Psalms, which is just right there in the middle of your Bible. So if you're looking for like where to go today for Psalm 42, just open your Bible up to the middle and you're gonna be pretty close. You'll feel like a real spiritual person. You could do that, but that's where we're gonna be today as we continue on through this. And it's just such a famous psalm. If you've been around church for long, you've probably heard the opening refrain because it's so like classic psalms, you know? Like it's just like you read it and you're like, yeah, that's a psalm, you know? Like it clicks. This is what it says at the beginning refrain that we'd be so familiar with: as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? A familiar refrain for us to open this psalm, and surprise, plot twist, I think you're gonna be encouraged today, okay? So I'm just gonna put it out there. It sounds like a really depressing psalm, but I think you're gonna be encouraged today. But I'd be a fool to go any further before showing you a baby picture because you're not gonna be able to focus. I know my wife had a baby about a month ago, okay? I'm not gonna take credit for it. There he is, he's a cutie, man. He's the cutest. So we're just loving it. We're soaking it up. We thank you for your prayers for us as we've been entering the new season of parenthood. I just want to help you be able to focus, you know, like baby picture. Now we can move on to get to the text, because the whole time you're going to be thinking like, Jackson has a baby and I know it's cute, you know, like just show me a picture, Jackson. There you go. That's Hezzy. Hezekiah is his full name, but we call him Hezzy. And we have just been so loving this new season of parenting. And honestly, one of the things that it's got me reflecting on is that I love difficult and challenging seasons with my wife, which might sound odd at first to you, like why would you enjoy going through something difficult? I just feel like it like brings us together in a new way. Every time we go through something challenging, every time there's like a new obstacle or a new thing to figure out, it's just like a new level of having to be teammates, a new level of having to work together. And it just brings some intimacy to that relationship even closer than we ever thought possible, because you just keep going through things. And it's like, I mean, you guys know, I'm just figuring this out. It's like a war zone, you know, raising a kid. It's like, we're in this together. Like, we got to figure this out. And it's just, it's a fun thing to see that almost healthy strain on our relationship that brings us closer. And as I've been reading this psalm and preparing for this, it actually got me thinking about a season that was really challenging with my wife. One of kind of the first challenging things that our relationship went through. And it's honestly the way that we knew that we were ready to get married. And the thing is my wife and I, we dated a whole year long distance. If you're not familiar with my story of meeting my wife, we have an awesome classic like Christian young adult meeting each other. We were working at a summer camp, okay? Like, aw, that's the cutest. We're working at a summer camp together. We're partnered up for the summer, okay? Like my job is literally to spend my whole day with Sky. And I would have done it for free, but they didn't know that. So I'm getting paid to hang out with Sky. It's the best. And we live like 50 feet from each other. So like all summer long, we're just like falling in love and feel like as close as could be. And it's just this awesome time of like getting to know each other. And like, I never knew life could be this good. And then the end of the summer hits and reality sets in. She goes to school in Phoenix. I go to school in Northern California. That is a long ways apart. And so as the summer hits its end, it's like, oh man, Things are gonna change in a big way. And so we get ripped apart, and long distance dating is the single worst thing. Like, oh, it is terrible. It makes you do the dumbest stuff. Like, it just does. You fall asleep on FaceTime together. That means nothing. Like, you're not thinking rationally at that point. Like, you don't need to watch each other sleep because you sleep with your eyes closed, you know? Like, but you just miss them so much. Like, it's just, you text each other all day long. Like, things that nobody needs to know, you know? Like, nobody needs updates on these things going on in your day. But you just text each other incessantly. And then you call each other every time you're out of class or whatever. And it's like, you don't need this level of communication with another person. Like, it's fine. You're going to be okay. And probably the single dumbest thing that I did in our long distance dating relationship is Valentine's Day hit in February. And man, I was just feeling like I'm going to be depressed on Valentine's Day. You know, like it's just going to be this constant reminder. I'm going to walk around school and see everybody all lovey-dovey. And it's just like, well, Sky's not here. You know, like I'm just going to be bummed. So I decided to buy a plane ticket and I flew out to Phoenix for less than 24 hours to go visit Sky. One of the dumbest things I've ever done. Like, it's not logical. Okay. It's a huge waste of money. I landed at 11 p.m. I left at 6 p.m. the next day. Like, it just didn't make any sense, you know? Like, but I just needed to see her. And that's kind of how long distance goes. It's not a rational side of you. And it makes you feel a little bit crazy. And you get these little moments of reprieve where you get to be together again for a second, only to be ripped away back to real life that we don't live close to each other. And it was, man, one of the most challenging things I've ever done. And if you've ever had a loved one be far apart from you, whether you have a spouse who goes away for work for long periods of time, or you did long distance dating, or even when you up and move away from your family, those things can be so challenging. There's something about keeping a relationship alive. Even like if you think about times where your life has really changed, you graduate high school, you leave all your friends. You graduate college, you leave all your friends. You move from this place to this place, you leave all your friends. It's like, are you friends with most of those people anymore? No, because it's really hard to stay friends with people that you don't see on a regular basis. And the thing is, with this psalm that we're looking at today, the psalmist is actually reflecting on being in a long-distance relationship with God. And when you start to look at it that way, it becomes pretty clear. I mean, look at how crazy this guy is. Look at what he says. Look at the beginning again. As a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul thirsts for you, O God. Oh, like a deer in drought. I'm so thirsty for the living presence of God. Like, dramatic, man, like dramatic. And then he says this, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I see him again? When can I go meet with God? And it, as all dramatic as it gets, my tears have been my food day and night. I wake up, I'm crying. I go to sleep, I'm crying. That's practically all I eat is tears, okay? It's just streaming down my face all the time. While people taunt me, they say to me all day long, where is your God? Man, this psalmist is in a tough spot. He's in a long distance relationship with God, trying to figure out, man, what am I gonna do? I am desperate for the presence of God. I am in an irrational place looking for the presence of God. You see, this psalm is written in the Psalms. It's in the Songbook of God, which is this great songbook that describes almost every emotion that you can possibly experience in doing life with God. And what's happened to this psalmist is there's a couple different biblical events that it could line up with, but for one reason or another, this psalmist has been removed from Jerusalem. Whether because of exile or because some enemies who have come or a coup that's happening in the kingdom, for whatever reason it is, this psalmist is on the run from Jerusalem. And as he's on the run from Jerusalem, that means he's also on the run from the temple. So if we kind of do a little bit of like Old Testament remembering for us, the way that things operate in the Old Testament is God's physical presence resides in the temple. So if you want to be close to God, you need to be close to what? The temple, right? Like that just goes together. If you're going to be close to God, you have to be close to the temple. And so what's happened for one reason or another, this psalmist has been up and moved out of Jerusalem. No Jerusalem, no temple, no temple, no God. And so as he's been moved away from the temple, man, he's entered into this long distance relationship with God. And for those of us with some Bible knowledge, you might say, Jackson, that's great. Like that must have been challenging in the Old Testament, but aren't things different in the New? Absolutely, things are totally different in the New Testament. In the New Testament, we see that Jesus, actually, he comes in and closes that long-distance relationship. He comes to visit for 33 years, hops on a plane, comes, God in a bod, comes to visit us. And in doing so, he gives his own life for us, creating a way for peace to be made between us and God. And in there being peace between us and God, the Father, he pours out the Holy Spirit on all those who believe in Jesus and now have peace with God, and now they have his physical presence residing in them. Okay, I mean, that is as cool as it gets. If you've placed your faith in Jesus, the presence of God Almighty, creator of the universe, dwells within you. That's the person of the Holy Spirit. So you might be like, Jackson, problem solved, man. No more long-distance relationship with God. Which it would totally seem like if you have the presence of the living God literally living inside of you, of course no more long distance relationship. But see, I know what your relationship with God is like because mine's the same way. And it ironically looks so similar to the way I met my wife. You probably met God at camp or at a retreat or at a conference or in an advance or a summit, or I've been to all of them, okay? I'm a pastor's kid, I've seen it all, okay? You met him at some awesome spiritual moment, probably in the mountains, doing something cool, a worship night, whatever it is. And it just feels like my whole life has changed. Everything is gonna be better. I mean, his presence is so real, so palpable here. Like, I can feel him in the room, Jackson. And it just feels like this is what I've been missing. This is it. And then what happens? You get ripped away back to real life. You live in a long-distance relationship with God. You get ripped away back to problems. You've got problems at home. You've got things to deal with your spouse, with your kids. You've got a busy schedule. Your work demands attention. And life just gets in the way of that warm, fuzzy closeness that you felt with God at that moment. And as life starts to get in the way, it feels like, man, where is God? You start asking the same question as the psalmist, where can I go to meet with God? I come to church and my mind's, I'm too busy. I'm thinking of all these other things. I go to my devotional time in the morning and it just doesn't feel great, Jackson. I don't get that same like warm, fuzzy feeling that I got in that initial meeting with God. Like, where has God gone? And you know he's here, but here's what you know. The Holy Spirit's just a down payment of what's to come. You have the physical presence of God with you, but it's only a down payment of the moment that you will see him face to face in eternity, that you will be with him forever and ever, never to be ripped out of his presence again. And so with the Holy Spirit, we get these moments, these down payment moments where we're like, oh, God's here, he's come to visit. And what happens is as life gets in the way, you might find yourself going weeks or months where you're like, where is God? It's been so long, Jackson, since I've felt his presence, since I've felt refreshed, since I've felt that feeling of closeness. And then all of a sudden, you're in a message or a worship song, and it's like God just like taps you on the shoulder and it's like, hey. And you're like, dude, like, where have you been? And he's like, I've been here the whole time. And it's so frustrating because you're like, you have been here the whole time, but I didn't feel like you were here. Right? Does that sound like anybody's relationship with God? Just a lot of ups and downs. That's what this psalmist is going through. And what I want you to know right out of the gate, you can see there in your notes, point one, seasons of feeling distance from God's presence is a normal part of life on a fallen planet. One of the things that might happen to you as you experience those low lows where it feels like, where is God? I've just lost him. Part of us, we start to feel like, what did I do? Like, it's my fault. What did I do to lose God? How did I get so far from him? And sometimes there are sin issues that get in the way. But can I just tell you, there's other times that it's just the reality of living life on a fallen and sinful planet. That maybe sometimes it's not a sin issue you have, but you're dealing with a lot of other sin issues in your life and relationships. And it just becomes distracting. And then all of a sudden, you lose that connection, that felt connection with God. It's just a normal part of life on a fallen planet because you're in a long-distance relationship with God. And I think if we accept that, we can kind of get past a little bit of the shame, those moments that we feel distance of like, what did I do? Like, what did I do wrong, God? Why did you leave me? It's like, no, you're just in a long-distance relationship with God. Like, if I got mad at my girlfriend every time she hopped back on a plane to go back to Phoenix, it's like we're in a long-distance relationship. Like, that's how it works right now. So I need to figure out how to operate in a long-distance relationship in a healthy way with God. If I'm in a long distance relationship with him and that's a normal part of life on this fallen planet, then I need to figure out how to operate in that relationship appropriately. So look at what the psalmist does. He's down bad, man. Look at how he responds. This is what he says in verse 4. He says, "These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng." He says, man, I remember when I used to be close to the temple. And when I was close to the temple, I was close to God. I remember that. It hasn't always been this way. I remember that it used to be a different way. And then he says this in verse 5, and you're going to want to kind of take note of this because this is the psalmist's truth statement. He's going to continue to come back to this statement word for word again and again and again. This is what he says, "Why, my soul, are you downcast?" As he remembers the temple, man, why am I so down? Why so disturbed within me? "Put my hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." And then look at classic long distance relationship, verse 6. "My soul is downcast within me," right? Like verse 5, he was like, "Why am I so downcast?" Verse 6, "My soul is downcast." Like he just can't get a break, right? "My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar, deep calls to deep. In the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves and breakers have swept over me." So he's down bad in verse 6. He gets to 7 and he's like, "Lord, your presence has swept over me right now. I feel you so close. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life." Verse 9, he's down bad again. "I say to my God, my rock, why have you forgotten me?" Right? Like this guy is just back and forth, back and forth. "Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." Do you resonate with what this psalmist is going through? Do you have those moments where it just feels like, man, today at church, I felt so close to God. And then on Tuesday, I feel like God's nowhere. Like, how can I snap between those two realities so quickly? Where it's like, oh, God is so close. Oh, God is so far. God is so close. God is so far. That's a challenging piece to our relationship with God on a fallen planet. I want to point you to one thing that this psalmist does really well in this passage. And what he does really well is he remembers. You can see here point 2 in your notes. When our environment leads us to forget, we must choose to remember. When our environment leads us to forget, we must choose to remember. You see, when you're in a long distance relationship, what do you do when stuff gets bad? What do you do when you're in your feelings, you're so sad? Man, I pull out my phone and I start going through pictures and videos. I start looking at like, oh, but remember this time when we went to Disneyland, but remember this time when we got slushies, but remember this time, like all of these things were so great. Like you pull up all your Facebook memories and you just start saying like, things haven't always been this bad. We haven't always been this far apart. See, there needs to be a choice to remember. Part of the reason that you might feel in your faith just kind of swept to and fro in your faith is because your emotions are the thing that's leading everything. Your feelings are the thing that's in charge. Instead of you saying like, okay, I don't feel close to God right now, but I'm making a conscious choice. I'm making a conscious choice to remember. To remember. Look at what he remembers. You can see this in your notes. He remembers the joy of God's presence with other believers. He remembers the joy of God's presence with other believers. This is what he said in verse 4. "These things I remember as I pour out my soul." I remember these things. I choose to remember how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. He says, man, Lord, I remember that it wasn't always like this. I remember those moments at the temple when I would come with everybody and I'd participate in temple worship and things were just so good. I felt you so close in that moment. I remember that time at camp. I remember that time at that retreat. I remember that time at a worship night when you were just so close to me. It's like I could reach out and grab you. I could feel you right there. The first thing that the psalmist remembers is that things haven't always been this way. The psalmist is in a bad spot right now. But the first thing he remembers is that things haven't always been this way in his relationship with God. God does come to visit. God, he's met with God. He remembers those moments getting to worship God with other believers. Man, this is one that I feel like I can resonate with so deeply. Like during the pandemic, you and I were all trying to remember what it was like when we would come to this place together and get to sing and hear the voices of other people singing. And it was like, man, when that got ripped away, I just found myself like listening to live worship albums during the pandemic just because I wanted to hear a crowd singing. Like I just missed that. I wanted to remember what it was like to stand with all of you and to sing and to praise God, because there's something that feels so close and so intimate with God when we're all here together, because it's a little taste of heaven. It's what heaven's gonna sound like. You and me singing together, praising God. Like that is awesome. That's a slice of heaven that we get here. And that's what the psalmist remembers first. He remembers that slice of heaven when I got to sing together with other believers. And remember and feel how close you were in that moment. He remembers that. The next thing he remembers is he remembers the consistency of God's faithful love. He remembers the consistency of God's faithful love. The first thing that he remembered was past. I remember that things haven't always been this way. What he remembers in verse 8 is present. He remembers that there's something going on right now, as bad as the psalmist feels, as far as he feels from God, as distant as everything seems, he remembers this. He says, by day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. He says, I remember that God's love is directing my life even now. As bad as things seem, as dark as the night feels, that word there for song is like a love song. At night, his love song is with me. Even as dark as my life might seem, that love song is still with me. I remember that his love is still with me now. As bad as things might seem, I remember that God loves me. That if God loved me enough to give up his own life for me, he loves me right now as far as I feel from him. That hasn't changed the relationship. That hasn't changed the dynamic. That hasn't changed his deep love for me that has transformed my life. So he remembers that things weren't always this bad. And then he also remembers God's love is with me right now. It's still directing my life. It's still with me at night. It's still with me in the midst of all of the things going on. And the third thing he remembers is he remembers the hope of God's salvation. He remembers the hope of God's salvation. This is what he says in verse 5 and 11. Why, my soul, are you downcast? And what is wrong with me? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. This is why I think that this psalm can be a hopeful one for you today, as sad and as a bummer as this psalm seems, is because this psalm is incredibly messianic. What the psalmist is realizing is his desperate need for somebody to close the gap between him and God, for somebody to close the gap in that relationship, to close the distance, to make it right again. He remembers the hope of salvation. So here's what he remembers. Things haven't always been this bad. God's love is with me right now, as bad as things feel, and things won't be like this forever. There is coming a day where I will be in God's presence forever and ever and ever. And man, when you are riding the wave that is our faith in a long distance relationship with God, you need to remember what has happened in the past, that God has showed up, that God's love is with you right now. And you need to remember the hope of your future, that your life won't be like this forever, that there is coming a day that you will stand in the presence of God fully known. You will see him face to face. The Holy Spirit is just a down payment. Paul says, for now we know in part, but then we will know in full. That is coming. That is coming. We need that hope when we're down and we feel so low. So man, remember the past. Remember that God's love is for you right now, and remember the future. But the thing is if you were reading this psalm devotionally, you might be like, boom, Psalm 42. And then you'd come back tomorrow and you'd read Psalm 43 and be like, wait, that sounds a lot like Psalm 42. That's because it is. It's broken up between Psalm 42 and 43, but it's one psalm. And as he continues on, what you're gonna see is that remembering helps, but it's not quite enough. This is what he says in verse 1, after all of this remembering, past, present, and future. He says, "Vindicate me, my God, and plead my cause against an unfaithful nation. Rescue me from those who are deceitful and wicked. You are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me?" Right? So he's like moving in all the right directions. "You're God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me?" Right? It's just back down. Again, long distance relationship. "Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Send me your light and your faithful care. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my joy and my delight. I will praise with the lyre, O God, my God. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." See, the third time he repeats that, it's in a different tone. He's got a different hope to him now because something has shifted. He's not just remembering. He's chosen to do something else as well. And this is what I think is so good for us about a long-distance relationship. You see, a long-distance relationship, you might have watched this a lot, whether your kids have done long-distance or you did it before and it didn't work out. I would love to see stats on long-distance relationships. They've gotta be abysmal, okay? It is so hard and it rarely ever works out. If you're in a long-distance relationship, I'm not trying to bum you out, okay? It's gonna be okay, you're gonna be fine. But man, they are hard, okay? And there's a reason. It's because you don't see that person every day. It's because there's nothing that like forces you back to that person. You have to choose. And at the end of the day, during the course of a long distance relationship, feelings fizzle and now you've got to figure out something else. You've got to choose that person over the other things going on in your life, which is why people either cut and run or they commit. And that's what's so good about a long distance relationship. That's why it's actually, I would put it as difficult as it is, I'd put it in the pro category for your relationship with God right now. Because you've got to decide, are you gonna cut and run on God or are you gonna commit? Because your feelings aren't always gonna be there. And your feelings start the relationship, but they don't sustain it. And so now you've got to figure something else out. And that's why long distance is so good, because that's how marriage works, man. Your feelings aren't always going to be there, but you have to commit. And man, so many of us in our relationship with God, it's like we understand that with people, but we don't understand that at all with God. And we're just looking for feelings with God. We're looking, and so our whole relationship with God looks like this, because we get these mountaintops where the feelings are there and then the feelings fade and it's like, by God, until the feelings show up again, like, I don't know, I'll be here, you know, when the feelings come back around. See, in a long distance relationship with God, you don't just have to choose to remember, but man, you have to have faith where your feelings fail. This is what we put for point number three. When our feelings aren't there, our faith must remind us of the truth. When our feelings aren't there, our faith must remind us of the truth. You see, the third time the psalmist repeats that, it comes after some faith statements, a faith prayer. "Lord, restore me to your presence." I don't know how. I don't know how you're gonna restore me to your presence. I don't know how I'm gonna get there. But here's what I know. Here's what he says. I'm gonna come back to the altar. I'm gonna come back to the temple. I don't know how, but I will come back to your presence again. And so I'm not gonna trip right now. I'm not gonna lose it. Why am I downcast? Man, I know that I'll be restored to the presence of God. This is what we need. We need two things. We need to remember, but then, man, we need to exercise our faith in this long distance relationship with God. In John chapter 4, Jesus has an interesting conversation with a lady. Interestingly enough, the conversation starts with a conversation about how her soul is thirsty, just the same way that this psalm starts. Man, my soul thirsts for the living God. And she comes out literally for water. She comes out of her town for water. She comes to the well. It's the iconic story of the woman at the well. And as Jesus begins this conversation with her, he begins it over the topic of water. And he offers her this thing called living water, which she is like, I don't know what that is, but I'm in, okay? He's like, you won't ever be thirsty again. She's like, sold. So she wants this water. And so Jesus got her hooked now, okay? And as they're talking, she begins to realize, like, I don't think he's talking about water. So she's becoming a little bit disappointed as they continue talking. And one of the reasons that they kind of land on as to why she's thirsty, why her life lacks, is because of a sin issue that she's got going on. That, man, she has all these broken marriages, and the man she's with right now isn't even her husband. And as she begins this conversation with Jesus, Jesus is kind of pointing her to, like, man, this is a big reason as to why your life lacks. But then she says, well, maybe it's because of this thing going on with the temple. See, she's a Samaritan, and Samaritans and Jews had a different understanding of where the holy mountain was, where the mountain was where you came to worship. And Samaritans thought it was in Samaria, obviously, where they were at, and the Jews thought it was in Jerusalem, okay? And so they kind of go back and forth, and she says, well, you know, maybe the temple is really the problem as to why I feel this distance in my relationship with God. And Jesus tells her, like, first of all, you're wrong. Second of all, that's not really gonna be a problem anymore. And he begins to talk about how worship is gonna operate after the Holy Spirit, how worship is gonna operate after the sacrifice that Jesus offers. And this is what he says. It's in John chapter 4, verse 23. He says, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth. You see, I think that's a great way to identify what we need in this long-distance relationship with God. We need spirit and truth. You need this commitment to remember what is true, but then, man, in faith, you need to align and posture yourself with the Spirit. You might not always feel like it. You might not always feel up to it, but, man, we need that. Let me tell you how I made it with my wife, how we made it through long distance. You see, we needed these two things. I needed a commitment to remembering that I loved her and she loved me. That no matter how things were going, how rocky things felt at different times, that, man, I was in love with her and she loved me. And I needed to remember that. But, man, if I just remembered that, that wasn't gonna be enough. Because all of a sudden, my feelings started to fade. And it wasn't that I didn't love my wife. It was just, man, I had other stuff going on that was distracting to me. At school, it was like, man, I've got all these people around me and they want my attention and they want to talk to me. And I would rather talk to people that are physically in front of me than make time to talk to somebody on a screen. Like, I just would rather do that. But my wife was like, we need to FaceTime. And it's like, girl, we've been texting all day. I called you multiple times today. Like, we need to FaceTime now too? And these FaceTimes, they go on for like 2-3 hours. I'm like, I don't have time for this, okay? Like, I don't feel like FaceTiming. And so all of a sudden, I wanna stop. I wanna stop FaceTiming. But, man, it hits me. If I wanna continue on in this relationship, I need to hop on FaceTime whether I feel like it or not. You see, I needed to embrace the liturgy of long distance. That even when I didn't feel like it, I needed to show up. That even when it didn't feel good, even when it didn't feel like I had time for it, I needed to show up. And, man, for us in our relationship with God, for many of us, what needs to balance us out is just remembering what is true. Instead of putting our feelings over the truth, putting our truth over our feelings. The truth over our feelings, right? To say, no, I know what is true. I know that things haven't always been this way. I know that God's love is with me right now, and I know that things won't always be this way. But then, man, we need to commit to the liturgy of long distance. To showing up to reading your Bible in the morning, to showing up to church week in and week out, to showing up to a small group week in and week out, hopping in to serve. All of these different practices that begin to bind us to God's community, God's people, and bind us to Him even when we don't feel like it. Why? Because it's good for you. Because it's good for your relationship. And, man, I feel like the New Testament makes really clear that a spiritually mature relationship with God isn't tossed to and fro. It's not this bumpy ride that we feel. And, man, if our relationship with God feels so incredibly bumpy, maybe it's because we haven't really bought into remembering what is true and committing to the liturgy of long distance even when we don't feel like it. Practicing His presence, praying on a regular basis, fostering that relationship, hop on FaceTime with God, man. Whether you feel like it or not, He's calling, He wants to hang out. And, man, how many of us have just kind of stopped, just kind of given up because we don't feel like it? Man, what I see clearly in the Psalms is the feelings are pervasive for this psalmist, but he makes a commitment to spirit and truth. He makes a commitment to what's true and to posturing himself in the Spirit, whether he feels like it or not. Let me pray for you. God, we love you so much. And this morning, we reflect on all that you've done for us. You have been so good and so kind to us. Lord, we thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you for the fact that you have closed that gap. And that one day now we await, we have this down payment already, but we await in full the opportunity to stand in your presence, fully known, fully loved. So God, as we are living in this tension of what you've already accomplished, but what we haven't yet experienced, we pray that you would give us the strength and the maturity to embrace Spirit and truth, to embrace this posture in faith, whether we feel like it or not, of spiritual rhythms, but then also to embrace what is true. Even though our feelings persist, our feelings push us so many different ways, they tempt us to forget. And man, if you're here today and you would look at that long distance relationship with God and say, Jackson, it's not even a relationship. It's just long distance. It's just nothing close. The beautiful thing this morning is that Jesus has closed that gap. That through coming to earth, living a sinless life, dying a sinless death, conquering sin and death once and for all, he has made a way for you to have peace with God. And not just peace with God, but joy because of it. And so if you're ready today, if you came today and say, man, my relationship is broken. I need this hope. I need that peace. The beautiful thing is that he made it so simple. It just looks like ABC is how we kind of simplify it here at HDC. A is to admit that you're a sinner in desperate need of a savior, that you have a broken relationship with God. B is to believe that Jesus is the only savior available. And C, to choose to operate in spirit and truth, to choose to by faith posture yourself by the Spirit and commit to what is true and remain in that relationship. And just like that, you're part of the family of God. You have peace with God and joy because of it. So man, I pray that you'd pray that prayer today if that's where your relationship is at with God. And Lord, for the rest of us this week, would you strengthen us, build us up so that we might find ourselves with greater spiritual maturity to ride the waves of long distance with you. It's in your holy and precious name that we pray, amen.